Our scripture reading today will be from John chapter 20, verses 20 and 30 and 31. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name.
It's good to see everyone here this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. I do want to let you know that if you are visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guests, and we're thankful for you being here on this morning. A very powerful passage of scripture has been read in our hearing. The reason why it's powerful, because truly, Jesus did many other signs. But God has given us enough in His great book to convince us, to persuade us, to believe in His Son, Jesus the Christ, being the Son of God. The Bible is full of claims. Jesus made great claims. As a matter of fact, when you consider some of the claims that people make even today, some claim to be the greatest. Remember back in the day when I was a kid, Muhammad Ali used to always say, "I am the greatest." He made that claim, but he backed it up in the ring. There's one thing to make a claim. There's another thing to give evidence of that claim. This morning, we're going to be talking about some of the claims that Jesus made and the evidence that He gave. As we talk about Fundamentals of the Faith, Part 4, we want to talk about some of those claims that Jesus made. We'll be here all day if we talked about all of them. But I do want us to take notice of some and look at some of the miracles in which Jesus Himself performed and some of those I am statements in that order. Friends, when we make claims today as being children of the Most High God, when we make those claims, when we tell people that I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm a member of the Church of Christ, I'm a baptized believer, I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm so glad, they ought to be able to see the evidence. They ought to be able to hear it in our speech. They ought to be able to see it in our actions. They ought to be able to see it in our parental skills, our married life, the way that we treat even our enemies. Friends, I know that all of us are a work in progress, and that's fine. It's beautiful, as a matter of fact. But God desires for us, when we make claims, to back those claims up. When we look at some of the claims that Jesus made, number one, I want us to consider that He claimed to be the Christ. Let's take a perusal through the book of John, and most of our passages will be in the book of John, that disciple in whom Jesus loved. In John chapter 4, in verse number 25 and 26, we look at this great passage, and Jesus is talking to this woman at the well. And remember the conversation that He had with her and the answers that she gave Him. And one of the things that Jesus told this woman in verse number 22, that salvation is of the Jews, which means that when you consider being delivered and you consider the law, the teachings, the Jews had that teaching, but the Samaritans didn't. Because they went into Assyrian captivity, they didn't have the teachings of God like they needed to. Yet they were doing the best that they could with what they had. We see something with this conversation with this woman in verse number 25, for she says something that's very powerful. She says, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ, anointed one. When He comes, He will tell us all things." In essence, He will educate us. He will teach us what we need to know about salvation, about worship, about eternal life. Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am He." Notice the claim that He makes. She said, "Messiah is coming, who is Christ. I'm He." But He backs that up. In John chapter 6 and verse number 38, He makes another claim. We'll come back to this particular claim in verse number 35, but we want to look at verse number 38 right now. In John chapter 6 and verse number 38, remember Jesus as He feeds the 5,000. He says, rather, that he is that bread from heaven. And notice what he says in verse number 38. He says, for I come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Now, that's a great claim. He says, I come down from heaven. Well, when you consider that claim, some of that particular day would probably thought he's crazy. What do you mean you came from heaven? He came from God. And the very fact that he came from God, he makes this claim, and friends, he backs the claim up. How does he back that claim up? He talks about being the bread of life. Look at John chapter 7 and verse number 16. We see another claim that Jesus makes. This particular claim is powerful in its own right. If you will, go up to verse 14, we'll read down. Now, about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. He was a teacher. And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? Jesus answered them and said, my teaching, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak of my own authority. You remember what Jesus said in John 12, verse 48? He that rejected me and received it not my word hath one to judge him. The words that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Here it is. For I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who gave me what to say and what to speak. Now, what did Jesus claim? Jesus claimed that his teachings were not his. They came from God himself. Friends, during this particular time, Pope Joy, that was a powerful claim. As a matter of fact, how would he back that claim up? Many today are trying to say that these teachings that I'm teaching are from God. But under great scrutiny of the scriptures, they fail to produce. Which means that if we make claims as Christians, as members of the Lord's church, let's make sure that it can be substantiated by the word of God. I've said before and I'll say it again. There is not a relative truth, meaning your truth and my truth, even though they're different truths, they can be true because they come from the same book. Friends, if they come from the same book, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 10, it ought to be the same thing. We ought to be teaching the same things on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We ought to be teaching the same things on Holy Spirit teaching. We ought to be teaching the same things on how to worship God in spirit and in truth. We ought to be teaching the same things. There are no nuances in those things. Why? Because God has made a claim. Jesus made a claim, and we should make the same claim that God claims. As a matter of fact, we have no agenda. Our agenda is God's agenda. And when we consider that, and we consider the great claim that Jesus made, Jesus said that my teaching is not mine. It came from God. Look at John 8. Look at verse 12. Jesus had the gall to make this claim right here. Jesus, how would you have the gall to make the claim that you are the light of the world? Hold on. I see the sun up there, Jesus. How can you be the light of the world? He's not talking about the sun that's in the firmament. He's not talking about the sun that is in the sky. He's talking about he being the S-O-N and being the light that comes forth out of darkness. Which means that he himself came from God because he himself is light. He come to shed the darkness, to rid the darkness. Notice John 8 and verse number 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again. You go back and you read the rest of this. It's powerful. I am the light of the world. He who follows me, now that's powerful. And friends, we make this claim every single day as children of God. We ought to make this claim every day in front of our children. Our children ought to make this claim in front of the parents. And our children ought to make this claim in what they do and what they say and what they wear. Did y'all hear that? We are the light of the world. We are the city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hid. We are an example of morality. We are not promoters of darkness, but rather we're promoters of morality. He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not live. Your version may say walk. Peripateo is the word there. Literally means to tread around. He doesn't tread around. He doesn't live in darkness, but have the light of life. Life. Hold on. Jesus made a claim one time. We'll get to it in a few minutes. He says, I am the life. I am the way, the truth, the life. what type of life, Jesus, are you? I am the eternal life. I am salvation. If man wants to have the abundant life, he has to come through me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Look at John 8:23. Jesus makes another claim. And in this claim, he says, I come from above. Hold on, Jesus. How can you make these claims like this? The same way we make claims today. Jesus is making this claim, but we know that because there's no lie in the truth, 1 John 2 and verse 21, and Jesus cannot lie because he is true, John 14 and verse number 6, and his Father is truth, and he validates him, John 5, 38 and 39. Jesus said in verse number 32, knows what your Bible says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus is one of truth. But look at verse 23. You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Jesus, why would you tell these people this? Because if you're going to follow me, you need to follow the information that comes from above. Here's a great point. You remember what Jesus said in John 3, verse 3 and 5? That in order to have eternal life, in order to be born again, you have to be born of water and the Spirit. And the word there again is the idea of being born from above. What type of above? What is he talking about? Talking about from heavenly teaching, from the God of heaven. If one is going to be spiritual, listen to this, friends, one has to be born of the one who is spiritual himself. Now, friends, God desires for us to be just like his son. Jesus is from above. His teachings are from above. And when we take those teachings into our lives, we obey the gospel. We live like above people. That's good right there. Question, how are you living? When people see your life, do they see above living life? Do they say godly life? That's what they ought to see. That's what they saw in Jesus. Notice John 10 and verse number 30. Don't fall asleep on me yet. In John 10 and verse number 30 and 36, Jesus again, why does he keep on claiming to be God? Because the book of John is all about him being God in the flesh. John 1 and verse number 14. He is the one that we follow. It's enough evidence in the book of John alone to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Friends, when a man won't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, he just needs to study more. He needs to humble himself. He needs to realize that if he wants eternal life or she wants eternal life, he has to believe in the one that says, I am God. In verse number 30, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Hold on, that's a powerful claim right there. That's a mighty big claim right there. For the Jews, they wanted to kill him because of this claim. Brian, is that true? Is it true that Jesus and the Father are one? Jesus made that claim. Drop down to verse number 36. He had the gall to even say it again. Notice what he says. Do you say, verse number 36, of him whom the Father sanctifies, meaning set apart and sent, John 3 verse 16, into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God. Jesus, why should I believe you? Because of the claims that I make. I make those claims. And I've substantiated those claims. I back those claims up. And friends, when a preacher gets in the pulpit and can't make the claims that God made himself, he's no good to God. Jesus makes these claims. Look at John 11 and verse 25. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus, what claim are you making now? I have the ability to raise man from the dead. Not only the dead of sin, Romans 6 verses 1 through 6, but John 5, 28 and 29, Jesus is going to raise those who have died. They're in their graves. And the Bible teaches us that every eye is going to see him, John 5, 28 and 29, even those that pierce him, Revelation chapter 1 verses 5 through 7. Even those who pierced him are going to see him. Jesus, you have the power to raise man from the dead? I have that power because God raised me from the dead. Acts chapter 2, verses 29 through 31. Question. Are you struggling with sin this morning? Jesus made the claim that he can raise you from the dead. One day he's going to raise us from the dead to never die again. But here's the question. Where will we live? Hopefully we'll live with God. Hopefully we're living with God right now. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. You know, Jesus Christ is in the church right now. When we just partook of the Lord's Supper, Jesus took the Lord's Supper with us according to Matthew 26, verses 26 through 28. Right now, I'll drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Friends, what great assurance of this great man of God. Look at John 12, verse number 48. Jesus, why do you keep making these claims? Because I want you to believe that I am He. And our children need to believe that. Our grandchildren need to believe that Jesus is He. And that His word is true. And that we can trust Him and believe in Him. And no matter what. And we can look men in their eyes and we can look them toe to toe and say, this is what the word of God says. And we're going to stand on the word of God. Jesus said, he that rejected me and receiveth not my word hath one to judge him. The words that I have spoken to saints shall judge him in the last day. Jesus, what are you claiming? That my words are God's words. And you know what? When we live our lives, we ought to live out the words of God in our life. Friends, we don't have time to be living out opinion. We're not smart enough to come up with our own way of living. Jeremiah would say in Jeremiah 10 and verse number 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We're not smart enough. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Wow. God teaches us how to live. Question. Do I believe him? Do I believe him? John 14:6. Look at that passage. This is a, friends, you think about this claim right here. And you think about the Jews in whom he was talking to. These religious leaders, they would hear these words, and I can bet that they would just burn it up on the inside. How dare you say you're the resurrection? How dare you say you came from God? How dare you say your teachings are from the Father? No. This can't be true. It was. John 14 and verse number 6. Jesus, as he is talking to his disciples, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Notice what he says in verse number 6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says this because it's a, Lord, we don't know the way. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. Oh, okay. Parents, you want godly children? Jesus is the way. You want a godly marriage? I didn't say good marriage. I said godly. Jesus is the way. You want to be a good employer, a good employee? Jesus is the way. His teachings, they're true. They're magnificent. They're wonderful. They're amazing. They're lofty. And we can do it. And just because we're foolish enough to believe Jesus, let folk get mad. I know one thing. People, if they really come across a Christian that's following the claims of Jesus, they want to be around those type of people. Only those who are not following after Christ, who can care less about his word, don't want to be around that. Jesus claims to be the way, the truth, the life. And notice this claim that he makes, friends. And no man comes to the Father but by me. Friends, he's exclusive. I'm the only way. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, no other way. Which suggests when people say it's either Jesus' way or the highway, that's a lie. Jesus said, I am the way, which means there's no other way. When a man tries to get to Jesus any other way than try to get to the Father any way but through Jesus, he is nothing but a thief and a robber, according to what Jesus said in John 10. Friends, those are claims that Jesus made. And when Jesus makes claims like that, we must listen. I leave you with this. This is my second point. But I'm leaving you with this. The miracles that Jesus performed. According to Matthew, Mark 16, verse 20, miracles, signs, were designed to confirm the word, to confirm the messenger. The more that I looked at 1 Kings chapter 15, chapter 17 and 18, going into Elijah, and I saw how he would perform those miracles. And on one occasion when he was talking to the woman whose son had died, after her son was raised up by Elijah, she said that, "I know that you are a man of God." Confirmed him. Hold on. The very works that Jesus performed were designed to show that he was the Son of God. Look at verse number 9 through 11 of John 14. Let's prove this. Notice what Jesus says to Philip. He says, "Have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me?" Here it is. "The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me and does the work." Notice what Jesus tells him. "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." Hold on. If people don't believe the things that you say, they ought to at least believe your life. They ought to be able to see Christ living in you, the hope of glory. Why? Because I'm taking the words of Christ and I'm not mixing it with my own thoughts. I'm not mixing it with some other man's thoughts. And friends, I guarantee you that if you mix God's word with any other man's thoughts, you're going to have a hodgepodge and it won't be pure doctrine. God wants us to be a pure people. So here, when we consider the very miracles of Jesus, let me hurriedly and give you a couple of them. In John chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, you remember when Jesus turned the water into wine, and let me go ahead and crush this. He didn't make alcoholic beverage. Even some of our own brethren want to say, well, we can't say for sure that he didn't make alcoholic beverages. Habakkuk 2 and verse 15 kind of settles that, but even in the text itself, it crushes it. What do we mean by this? In verse number 10 itself, I just want to make this point just in case you think that Jesus made some seed in seven or something. You ought to get that when you get home. "And he said to him, every man at the beginning set out the good wine." You know what the good word, word good there is? Kalos. Free from intoxicants. Jesus did not make any alcoholic beverage whatsoever and then try to allow other folk to drink it so he can get them drunk. That's not the Lord. But notice John 3 and verse number 2. And notice what Nicodemus says about Jesus. John 3 and verse number 2. This man came to Jesus by night and said, "Teacher." They said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God." Why? "Why, Nicodemus? For no one can do these miracles, these signs that you do, unless God is with him." Nicodemus, how would you know that? He's a Pharisee. He's a teacher of the law. He's probably most likely part of the Sanhedrin, Rick. He knew about this Lord. He knew about the Christ. He knew about the things that were to come. And when he saw it, he'd be like, "This has to be the guy. This has to be anointed one." And friends, Jesus would validate his claims. In John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54, he heals a nobleman's son from a distance. In John 5, verses 1 through 9, he heals a lame man. He feeds 5,000 in John 6. He walks on the water in John 6. He heals a blind man in John chapter 9. He raises Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11. But why do we bring all of these things out? Because we made these claims about Jesus, and as Christians, we have to believe him for his very word's sake. Question, do you believe Jesus still? I hope the things that you have heard today will solidify your faith even more. That when you go to the Word of God and you study it and you read it and someone's trying to tell you, well, that's not really what the Word of God means. That's not really what it says. Friends, God has given us a mind, and as long as our mind is pure and we're studying to show ourselves approved unto God, God is going to help us to understand His Word through the Word. Through the Word. Nothing miraculous. Let me give you these I am statements. In John 6, let's turn there. I'm going to let y'all go here in a minute. I just got warmed up. I'm just now starting to sweat. I'm not even going to settle down. Look at John 6:35. Notice what Jesus says. Notice this I am statement. Keep in mind the I am of Exodus 3 and verse number 14. And how Jesus would use that in John 8 verses 50 through verse 58. Before Abraham was, ego a me, I am. But notice what he says. I am the bread of life, friends. Are you hungry? Are you hungry for life? Are you spiritually hungry? Those who are Christians ought to hunger and thirst after righteousness, Matthew chapter 5. But then notice John 8 verse 12 again. John 8, verse number 12. Yes, we're going over this one again, but notice why. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. It's a powerful claim. Look at chapter 10, verse 9. This is probably one of my favorite ones right here. I love quoting verse 10, but looking at it with verse number 9 makes it richer and richer. He says, I am the door. You know what we do with doors? We walk in and we walk out. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And we'll go in and out and find pasture. Are you looking for pasture? Are you looking for comfort? Are you looking for eternal life, the abundant life? Are you looking for those things? Are you looking for a sound mind? Jesus said, I'm the door. Walk in me. In John 10, in verse number 11, notice what he says. I am the good shepherd. The shepherd gives his life for his sheep. That's the cross right there. Friends, do you need shepherding? Maybe your family member is not treating you right, not treating you well. You have a shepherd that will always treat you well. He will always make sure that you have the nourishment that you need, the spiritual nourishment. He will make sure that you will have the right mindset. If you just stay in His Word, He is the great shepherd according to 1 Peter 5 and verse number 1. But notice, John 11, 25, again. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. It's interesting that these I am statements pretty much all have life in it. Jesus is life. Why do we always try to govern our own lives when God says, I want to govern your life? John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Look at John 15, 1. I'll end with this one. Notice what he says. I am the true vine, which means that there are some false vines out there. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and that's the purpose of the covenant. Romans 7 and verse number 4. God desires for us to bear fruit unto Him. God desires for us to do His will, friends. As Christians, if we claim to be Christians, and we do, and we shall, and we should, we ought to bear fruit. People ought to be able to see Christ living in us. They ought to see us going out there, helping one another, loving one another, and being benevolent unto one another, loving our enemies, and making sure that we're doing our level best to bring God the glory, not ourselves. I said all that to say this. What other claims does God have to make? When John said these things were written, that you may believe that He is the Son of God. Rick, does He have to give us more claims? Or did He give us everything that pertained to life and godliness through the knowledge of His Son, Jesus Christ? Right here. Right here. Jesus also made a claim. Few be there that find it. I'll tell you what hurts me the most out of everything is to have a hold on eternal life and then let it go. Friends, don't let it go. For the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I'm glad you're here. We're glad you're here this morning. But while you're here, hold fast to the claims that Jesus made. There are enough billboards out there. There are enough pop-ups out there. There's enough things going on out there to cause you to think and doubt the Lord. If you're a husband, stay with your wife. If you're a wife, be reverent to your husband. If you're a child, be obedient to your family, to your parents. If your parents, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Do what is right according to this. And watch the Lord bless your life. Amen? Think about it. And let's go home and be with God. I end with these words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I make you rule over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. Aren't those great words? You know who made that claim? Jesus. He claims to save all of those who are faithful servants. We have to believe that. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to be saved. We want you to be delivered from your sin. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, talking about his crucifixion, I'll draw all men unto me. Jesus still drawing. It's interesting, 2,000 years later, and Jesus still drawing men. And that's why the preacher had to lift up that cross, and we got to lift it up high. We got enough things being lifted up in our hearts. We need to lift that cross up. That's what we lift up. And we just don't lift it up on Sunday and Wednesday. We lift it up 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And when that cross start coming down in our lives, we need to get that cross back up and tell God, I'm sorry for not lifting up the cross. Lift that cross up high. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord and be buried in water for the remission of your sins. Go down in that watery grave of baptism. Come in contact with the blood of Christ. God will wash away your sins, operate upon you. The next thing you know, you have your conscience cleansed from dead works to serve the living God. Just like that. That's the God we serve. You know why? He wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But maybe you're a child of God and you're in la la land right now. Maybe you ain't listened to a word I've said. And looking at some of your faces, some of y'all have it. I ain't trying to be mean. But y'all better pay attention to what God's word says. Because he means what he says. And I'm not rebuking you. I'm being very nice right now. God means every word that he says. It's scary. Fall into the hands of the living God. If you need special prayer, you need to repent. And maybe you need to repent. You need to turn away from sin. Do that. If you need to make it right with a brother or a sister, do that. Why? Because your soul is important to God. And the very fact that it's important to God, he sent the Son, it ought to be important to you. Amen. As we stand, as we sing to say this invitation.